So let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for another Sunday morning. We thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy toward us, Lord God. Father, we know that many, many slipped into eternity last week, Lord God, but here we are. So we thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. Lord, I pray that we would grow in relationship with you, Lord God. Father, let us cast aside anything that comes between you and us, Lord, and let us seek with all of our heart true relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why you came, Lord, is so that we would have relationship and not religion and not anything else. So, Lord, I pray, Lord God, that you, by your Holy Ghost, Lord, would show us how that is accomplished in us, Lord. Show us where we're falling short, oh God, in that. Lord, I pray that we would decrease and you would increase. So, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, and we expect it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we're continuing on the vertical relationship with Christ, vertical, the cross of Christ. And so this whole lesson is about just parking at the cross. You know, we believers, you know, this is not for the unbelievers. This is for us, this lesson, just talking about what our relationship with Jesus Christ should look like and just reviewing the lesson we talked about in the opening. Just how many times Jesus taught about this thing. The thing that really bothered Christ a lot was hypocrisy. If you ever saw Jesus Christ upset in the New Testament, it was always had to do with hypocrisy. You know, the Pharisees and the scribes and, you know, just the different things that they did that really came in the way of relationship of the people with God. So we talked about the wheat and the tares and how they look so much alike. And Jesus gave that parable of how they're coming up together. And we should really pay attention to that, because what he's saying is that they're going to be right in the church with you, right next to you. And in the parable, he says that he's not going to pull the tares out during the time on earth, during the church. There's going to come a time when they will be gathered up at the end of everything. You know, and I think they'll be gathered up, but they will be exposed when the heat starts rising on Christianity, you know, as it is today, you know, and then the tares will show themselves. And the scriptures goes on to say that Jesus said that they would be gathered up and they would be burned. And again, we should take this so seriously as we're talking about our true relationship with Jesus Christ. Then we talked about what a genuine relationship with Christ or evidences of the relationship with Christ looks like. And we talked about, do you feel convicted of sin? You know, you should feel some conviction when you sin. Some sins are subtle and you may not really know it's sin. As the Bible says, he that knows to do right and does it not, to him it is a sin. So sometimes I can't get away with some things that you can get away with, and I can get away with some things that you can get away with, because what is sin to you may not be sin to me, and so on and so forth, because we're all growing in Christ. You know, and as God reveals things to you, then he says, okay, that's sin for me. I can't do that anymore. I know you're still on that path of overcoming that, but I can't do that, because the Holy Spirit has made it clear to me that that is something that is sin in my life to do. Again, it's about the individual relationship. So do you feel convicted of sin? We talked about. We also talked about, do you have joy? You know, as a believer, you should have joy in your life, and joy should not depend on your circumstances. Amen. And I know that's a hard thing as a human being. What do you mean? I mean, I need this, I need that. But you can have joy. We talked about Paul and how they praise Jesus even in prison, in chains. They praised him. They praised him so much that an earthquake came and their chains fell off, and the doors of the jail flew open. And the jailer, when he realized what had happened, he was about to kill himself, because either they're going to kill me anyways. But Paul, boy, you know, just the mercy of that they had on this jailer. They didn't let him kill himself. They said, hey, we're all here. Don't kill yourself. And in doing so, he was able to minister to the jailer and his family. See, that's what joy will do. Joy has a power to it, that I'm happy. We're happy right here. We know God's got our back. God always has my back. I don't have to worry about what you do or what you don't do and how you treat me and if you don't like me and if you resent me. I can have joy all the time because I know that Jesus has me. So another test for yourself. Do you have joy? Do you have love? That was another thing we talked about. Mm-hmm. Do you have love? Do you love people? And I'm not talking about this human love that comes and goes and waxes and wanes. I'm talking about a love that is there all the time. You can do how, you can do me how you want, and I'm still going to love you. Amen. I'm still going to love you. I'm still going to come bring you a cup of coffee. You call me if you need me. I'm going to be there. You know, and that's what really wins people, when you have that Jesus kind of love, because that's the love he demonstrated toward us. We mistreated him. We beat him. We did. He had all power in his hand, and he allowed us to do all these things to torture him and to humiliate him, and he still went to the cross for us. Oh, wow. When you think about that, see, that's love, folks. That is love. When you love, 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 and if you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about. You take all kind of stuff from your kids, you know, and you still love them. You know, they just do you so wrong. They do all kind of stuff. Will talk about you. Will say all kind of things. Then come back and ask, want $20. You know, so you and you'll give it to them too because they need it. You know, and stuff like that. Because that's love. But Jesus' love even exceeds that kind of love. So do you love? And the scripture Paul was talking about. He was talking about. That we need to assess ourselves as believers. We need to evaluate ourselves, he kept talking about, that we need to see, you know, if we are really of Christ or not. You know, most of the word is written to believers. It is not written to the unbelievers. It's written to us. Most of the New Testament, he was writing to the churches, the church at Corinth, the church at Ephesus. Oh, he was the church at Philippi. He was writing to the people of God to help them to grow up in him, grow up in Christ. And so as we move further on, we're going to talk more about the relationship with Jesus Christ and what that looks like. That's why you accepted him, folks, is so that you could have relationship. So on the section starting with the relationship, my page numbers are different than yours. In your handout, it may be different. But as we talk about that section on the relationship, it says the relationship with God must begin with repentance and faith in the cross of Jesus Christ. It must begin there. You know, the truth of the cross is not just a story to help us feel better about ourselves or feel hope for the woes of the world. The truth of the cross is the only way you will be saved on that great day. That's the truth of the cross. It's not just some warm, fuzzy feeling that we can feel good while we're on earth, that, you know, God is love and God loves everybody. Folks, I'm telling you, the truth of the cross is the only thing that's going to save you on that day. You have an appointment with Jesus Christ one day. We all have an appointment. I'm telling you, nobody's going to be there with you. You are going to be there by yourself. All alone, you know, so you got to think about that when it comes to relationship. There will be no excuse that you will have when you have that appointment. And we all have an appointment with Jesus Christ someday. Jesus is the only bridge to your eternal rescue. Your decision at the cross is the most important decision that you will make in your existence as a human being. It is not to be taken lightly. Folks, I just wanted to just drive home the seriousness of this. You know, there was a reason why so much was written to the Church of Jesus Christ about our relationship, because there was so much hypocrisy going on, you know, and hypocrisy has gone on with God and his relationship with man from the very beginning of time. It's always been the hypocrites versus the true believers. Even in the Old Testament, you saw it over and over again, you know, people that said they knew God, but yet they didn't live it. You know, over and over again. Yes, we are Jews, and yes, but yet we, you know, we're serving other gods, we're serving idols. And then as we move into the New Testament, same thing that Jesus had to deal with over and over again, the hypocrisy in the house of God.
Amen.
You know, so that's what we're dealing with now. There's a handout that you should have gotten today. And so I'm going to refer to that handout right now. And in the handout, it says the enemy uses many devices to keep us of humanity from true relationship with Christ. And that's what you have to understand. You are in the middle of a war.
Amen.
Okay. And there is an enemy that works to keep human beings, humanity, away from true relationship.
Amen.
And you have to think about how he does that. And we're going to, that's what we want to really talk about. How does he keep us from this true relationship with Christ? What is the issue? Anyways, so for unbelievers, Satan uses the overt blindness to the gospel. And that's in 2 Corinthians 4:4. It says, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. And it also talked just some of the things that, so Satan keeps them blinded, and then he tempts them with the things that are talked about in 1 John 2:16, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You can put all of the sins of mankind into those categories. And 1 John 2:16, it says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So that's the category of unbelievers. That's where they are, blinded. And so that's why we pray for them. We pray, oh God, open their eyes so that they can see. You know, Lord, please draw them in. That's why we pray for people, because our prayers are effective in that they can take the blinders off so they can finally see the light of the gospel. Now let's get on us Christians. What about us believers? What's going on with us? It says, your handout says, for those of us who wear the label Christian, Satan uses devices or schemes to thwart our true relationship with Christ. The enemy is subtle with Christians. He has to be subtle with us. He can't just come up with overt sin. You know, he's got to be tricky, Kathy. He knows. He knows they don't accept Jesus Christ. They go into church every week. So I got to sneak in there with them. I got to sneak around with them. So it talks about schemes and devices. The apostle wrote this to the church in 2 Corinthians 2:10. When you forgive this man, I forgive him too. When I forgive whatever needs to be forgiven, I do so with Christ's authority for your benefit, so that Satan will not outsmart us, for we are familiar with his evil schemes. I mean, Paul was like at a place where he says, I can see the devil coming. You know, and the only way you're going to see him coming is if you're reading the word and if you're praying, you know. And I'm going to repeat some of the things that Pastor Steve just said. I got to text Pastor Steve. I said, you'd have taught my lesson before I even had a chance to get into the class, you know. So, and that happens all the time. Even when I had class first, Pastor Steve would, I'm like, man, he's teaching my lesson again, you know. And that's the Holy Spirit. I just believe that the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost is saying it twice, folks, you better pay attention. He's saying it twice. So I'm going to say a lot of things that Pastor Steve just said in the sanctuary. So let's talk about some of the evil schemes of the enemy. I felt this was warranted. This warranted a handout, because we needed to talk about, break this down for us Christians on how the enemy gets in and what his schemes can look like. And this list is by no means exhaustive. You know, there may be other things that you know about where the enemy can come in. First, number one, top of the list, religion, okay? You religious people, let's talk to you. Rituals to take the place of relationship with Christ, you know, doing stuff. You know, from the very beginning, I'm reading this book of, I think you were the one that mentioned this book, Fox's Book of Martyrs. If you get a chance to get a copy of this, this is an old book. And this is updated. It goes all the way up to martyrs, up to 1997. It starts all the way back with the disciples of Jesus Christ and how they were martyred, and goes all through history on the martyrs of Jesus Christ and all the people that were martyred. And it's just interesting. It's a hard read for some people, because they go into details on how people were tortured and how they were killed, burned to death, for the sake of Jesus Christ. But it has a lot of information also on the history of the church and what happened to the church of Jesus Christ from the very beginning, how the enemy came in and tried to hijack the church of Jesus Christ and twist it and turn it and add all these rituals to it that was never in the gospels, never in the message of Jesus Christ. And they tried to change everything through and create religion or rituals to take the place of true relationship. You know, if you do this, this, and this, then you're good. Oh, if you do this, this, and this, I don't want to call out one particular religion, but you do, you know, you got to do penance, and you got to do this, and you do this, and you do this, and then you're okay, you know, without any true relationship, you know. And I've even heard people say, well, yeah, I'm going to do it today, but then I'm going to go to confession on Friday, you know, and I'm like, that's not relationship. See, you know, the apostle said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. He said, no, it's about growing up and not sinning anymore. You know, not looking toward Friday where I can go and do my confession and all of this and it'd be done. So religion, you know, and as you can see, Jesus got so upset over and over with the Pharisees and the scribes. They had their beautiful robes on and all their, you know, all their adornments of religion. And he was just, no, you know, he said, no, that's not relation. That's not God. You know, God is about relationship. And then next, methods of disunity. We have all kind of methods in the Church of Jesus Christ. Pastor Steve was just talking about if we were just unified. Wow, what we could do as the body of Christ, the power that we could have in the world, not just in the U.S., but in the world, if we were just unified. There is no other thing, there's no other faith that crosses oceans and goes from country to country to country, but Christianity, if we were just unified. The apostle wrote this to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 4:3. He said, endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit and the bond of peace. And I love that word endeavoring because that means you got to fight for it. You got to endeavor. It's not going to just happen. You have to fight to keep the unity of the spirit and the bond of peace at Praise Assembly. You know, you got to endeavor. You got to fight to stay in relationship with folks, you know. People are going to do all kinds of things, say all kinds of things. You got to endeavor to keep it. What do? You stay in prayer. You overcome. You don't take every little insult and, oh, you know, and fall apart. You stay strong in the Lord. You love, you know, you don't return evil for evil or insult for insult. To this you have been called, he wrote. You know, and that's how we endeavor and fight to keep the unity of the spirit. People are even arguing over which day do you worship on. Yes, you know, the truth of the matter, nobody knows when the real seventh day was. You know, we don't know when it was. Adam and Eve just got here on the sixth day. They were just barely finding out that they were alive. You know, so nobody really knows what the true seventh day was. You know, so what was the spirit? What's the point that God was saying? Every so often, you need to rest. Every so often, you need to stop and you need to worship me. You know, I'm not restricting you to one day. Jesus, and I was looking at the example of Jesus, Sermon on the Mount. I was reading the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5. Check it out. It was not the Sabbath day. Jesus just saw all this crowd of people around him, and Jesus went and said, okay, come on, listen. He just went and sat up on a mountain and said and started teaching. Doesn't even say it was a Sabbath or anything else. Jesus just went up there and he had church. You know, so he is always our example. I'm looking at Jesus, and they were condemning him for healing a man on the Sabbath day. You know, again, religion over people and relationship. We got to get away from that. We're finding all kind of ways to divide us, how we worship, what kind of songs we sing when we worship. The music is too loud when we worship. There's even one group that says you should only sing psalms. And if you sing other things other than psalms, we can't worship with you. Yes. Yes. I'm like, what? You can only sing the psalms. The songs have got to come from the book of Psalms, or no, you can't sing any, all kind of things that the enemy, see, as I said, the enemy's not going to come at us with overt sin. Okay. He's going to come creeping in all kind of ways in which he can divide us. That's why we have got to be filled with the Holy Spirit so we can see him coming and we can get around it. Even when people are dividing from you and resenting, you start praying and just rebuking that spirit that's operating, because it's a spirit operating. You know, that's why people change from day to day. You know, they were fine yesterday and today they got an attitude. It's a spirit. I just rebuke the devil. right now in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, and don't do it in a way in which is right in front of their face and makes them madder. Because people don't like to be rebuked. They think, oh, what are you saying? I don't know Jesus. What are you saying? I'm not walking in the Holy Ghost. So again, the enemy is cunning. So you've got to be wise. Okay, I'm going to rebuke the devil, but I'm going to rebuke it under my mask. Put my mask up. Mom, the thing about the mask, you get it. You know? But just being wise, but yes, you know, stop the disunity all around. And if we can just come together, oh Lord, and love each other, show the world love. The world is looking for our love. Amen. He's looking for our love. Look at that world out there. It is harsh. It is hard. It is cruel. It is cold. It is mean. They're looking for the children of the living God to show them love. And that means you're going to have to take a licking and keep on loving.
Amen.
Keep on loving. They're going to talk about you. You keep on loving. You keep on loving. You show them this is what Jesus Christ looks like. He keeps loving. He doesn't care your condition. He went and ate with the publicans. He ate with the sinners. He let the woman with adultery. He excused her. You know, the woman, he let her wash his feet. Like, oh, he don't know who touching him. He just don't even know who touching him. My goodness. And Jesus loved her. And he gave her a job. He said, take this ointment and save it for my burial. Oh man, and she just, oh boy, I bet that was everything to her. Like, he gave me something to do. He made me a part of the team. Oh, see, that's what Jesus does. Jesus makes you a part of the team. He don't care where you came from, what you've done. Oh, the unity and the love. Folks, we got to understand relationship and what that looks like. A resentment, that's another thing. Oh man, all the church hopping from here to here to here to here. Folks, Jesus is not unstable.
Amen.
Okay, he's not going to send you here and send you here and send you here and send you here and send you there. No, there's a reason why I feel you're assigned to a church.
Yes.
You're assigned there to help build it and help it to grow and to help support the man of God and the people of God. You're sent there to that community. You're assigned there. And you can't just up and leave without talking to the commander in chief because you're resenting something that would say, he said something about me and I know he was just talking about me. Oh, people, yes. Please grow up. Grow up in Jesus, for goodness sake.
Reinforced what I was thinking.
Yes.
And what I thought.
They can talk about you. So what? Let them talk. I'm telling you. I mean, I'm just thankful. You know, it was hard, I was going through some of the stuff I was going through. Because I'm not telling you guys something that I didn't have to live through. You know, but man, just embarrassed. You know, I tell people my stuff was in the paper. Okay. My house foreclosure was in the paper. Hello. And a friend told me before I knew.
Wow.
That's how bad it was. You know, and I was like, you know, but God had to take me down that road.
Yes.
Take that pride down. Take that pride down. I said, okay, it's over now. You know, my stuff is flapping in the breeze. I might as well just forget it anyways. I might as well just serve Jesus because.
There's a freedom in that.
Isn't it? That's what I discovered.
Yes.
Amen, brother. That's exactly what I discovered. I was set free from pride. I didn't even know. I'm like, hey, everybody know my business now, so I might as well just go on and just live. And I was set free. I was set free. I didn't even care. And to this day, I'm like, you know, stuff happened. I'm like, oh, well. Whatever. You got it, Jesus. I'm going to go on, you know. Because it, you know, he sets you free from that kind of stuff. So resentment, we got to get past being resentful for all these little petty things that we get resentful about. Resent the pastor because he said this. Resent, he didn't come. Oh, resent, pray yourself. Pastor can't always come when you need somebody to pray. You pray, you know. Cece Winans sings the song, I Pray You Pray. I love that. She sings that song, I Pray You Pray. You know, and I'm like, thank you, because we all can reach heaven. That's what Jesus' relationship was all about. So that I can reach heaven myself. I don't have to call, you know, two pastors and three deacons to pray. I can reach him myself and talk to him, wearing people out. You know, gossip, that's another one. I put the scripture reference, 1 John 4:20, you know, which says, how can you say you love God who you've not seen, and you don't love your, and you can't love your brother you've seen every day? Gossip. You're not loving people when you gossip, telling their business. How are you loving somebody when you do that? You're supposed to cover people. You cover them. You know, you protect them. They're part of you. You protect them. You know, and you don't tell everybody. You know, sometimes you have to need to tell people. I need to know. You know, confidentiality. Boy, that should be something that's just ingrained in the body of Christ. You know, I mean, in medicine, it's legal. I mean, you have to. The HIPAA laws are out there. Man, you breach confidentiality and you will be fined. You know, and I mean, $250,000 they can fine you. You know, for breach of confidentiality. Boy, shouldn't that be in the church too?
Yes.
The damage. The damage you do.
You do so much damage. You can lead people to suicide just by gossiping.
Yes. Gossiping you at know. A prayer meeting.
Yes, gossiping at a prayer meeting. Yes. Gossip prayer. Yeah, I've been in those. Oh, gossip prayer.
You just got to pray for Susie because her husband left her. Really? And she had three kids all by herself. And I heard the first one of the kids is not even his. And I thought... Oh my goodness.
Be careful. You cover people and you love people, you know, and you protect them. You know, social media, oh my God. You know, when I look at some of the teenagers and the young people and how they don't realize that you are playing with a loaded gun with that social media. You put it up online and everybody knows, and by the end of the day, somebody's ready to take their life. Mm-hmm. We got to be careful with that. And yes, it happens in Christianity. It happens in Christendom. So we have to be careful. Here's another one, sloth. Oh my goodness, sloth, relationship. And Pastor Steve, just again, I couldn't believe he was hitting on it. Haggai 1:4, it says, is it time for yourselves to live in your expensive paneled houses while this house of the Lord lies in ruins? Wow, he was talking to people of God. He said, the house of God, you know, I mean, this would be some kind of service coming out of your life. The house of God, it could be just a really, I was watching Rose today. She was working the door, you know, and sometimes it's just little things. Virginia, she gets the book. She does the books. If you need a book, see Virginia for the class. Virginia's our book person, you know, just doing something, some service, you know, in the house of God. Commit to something. As Pastor Steve was just saying it, commit to something. You know, don't let the house of God do without. Now you look around, well, Praise Assembly is gorgeous, it's beautiful. We just did this renovations. We're getting these new speakers. Yes, that's beautiful, and I'm glad we're giving. But there's more to it than that. Is it in ruins as far as service is concerned? Don't have enough people to do anything because we can't do that because we don't have anybody. We can't do that because we don't have anybody. Nobody will help with the food drive. Nobody will do this. Nobody. We only have the same few people over and over being worn out. Folks, check your relationship, you know, and I don't teach class because I want points with Jesus. That's not why I teach class. Okay. There are rewards for doing certain things, but I don't do that. I do it because I love him.
Amen.
I do it because I love him. And when you have relationship with Jesus and you love him, when you're in love with Jesus, oh, you're going to be doing stuff. You do stuff for people you love. You just do stuff. You always thinking about them. It's like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. You do that. How do you feel about Jesus? And only you can answer that question for yourself. How do you feel about Jesus? Do you think about him during the day? You know, or is he out of your mind until next Sunday? You know, do you think about him? Do you think, oh, Lord, what can I do? You know, I'm off to work today, Lord, but what can I do for your service? You know, anoint myself, you know, just, you know, have a practice of just having some blessed oil and just anoint yourself every day. you know, Lord, I'm anointing myself for your service today. You know, just show me where you want me to be today. What you want me to do. Lord, show me my place in your house, because the house of God should not lack for anything. There should always be a team of people ready for anything that needs to happen here. You know, and on the balance side of that, you know, be balanced, because there's some people that do so much for God, they don't spend any time with God. Amen. Doing. The Holy Spirit is so balanced. How do you know what to do and what not to do? Holy Spirit. Don't neglect your family, you know, because that's the Holy Spirit will keep you balanced. Like, yeah, you can get involved with that, but you need to leave that alone. And I'm learning that myself. You know, there's something I signed up for that I'm like, okay, God, I don't even have enough energy to do this, you know. So keep yourself balanced. But you should be doing something. So ask the Lord, what should I be doing? What's that?
Martha and Mary.
Yes. That's a prime example. Martha and Mary. One working, and one sitting at the feet of Jesus, just looking. I got that picture in my hallway at my house. I love it. One is looking up at Jesus, and the other one's carrying a pitcher of water, like with this forlorn look on her face. And I'm like, I got that picture because I was the one with the pitcher. With the forlorn look, I said, Lord, I thank you for changing me from that woman to this woman. Looking up at the Lord. And if you're looking up at the Lord, he'll show you what to do. He'll keep you balanced, because the Holy Spirit will do that. Keep you balanced. Do this, but you need to leave that alone so you have time for your family, so you don't get so worn out. You know, I believe God gives you enough hours in the day to do everything you need to do. So if things are lacking, check yourself. Lord, what did I do today that I should have let go? And he'll tell you. Holy Spirit is so detailed. He will get all up in your business. Okay, he'll get all up in your grill and tell you, you should have let that alone. You know, you should have, you know, you didn't have to do all that. You didn't have to bake two cakes. You could have baked the one cake, you know. You know, just different things that the Lord will tell you. So again, we're looking at the house of God. Is the house of God lying in ruins as far as service is concerned? And I can say, yes, it is in many places. I've heard that over and over again, that 20% of the people are doing most of the work in the church, while 80% are just coming and just, you know, feeding. Consumers in the house, just consumers, consumers. Now, let me say this also. There is a time when God will have you just come and be blessed and be nurtured, because there is a season for that too, especially when you've gone through a trauma or a tragedy. Sometimes you do need to just sit and heal. I went through that. I just needed to sit, and I need to heal, and I just needed to come, and I just need to be nurtured by the body of Christ. And there are seasons for that, you know. Or, you know, when I had young children, there was no way I could do a lot of other stuff. You know, so there's our seasons in your life where, yeah, maybe you need to, you know, focus on the children right now, or focus on, you know, healing yourself right now. And don't be trying to do too much, you know. But the day came when God says, okay, all right, you had your year, your year two. Now it's time to get busy. But Lord, I just went through all my, he said, time to get busy. And boy, and I did, and I went to go talk to Pastor Wilson, and here I am today. I can tell y'all, I'll tell you all the detailed story another time, you know, how Carol left me here, but she was funny. Yeah, but God's house should never lie in ruins, guys. We should be doing something. Everybody should be doing something. That it tells your relationship with Jesus, because it grows out of your relationship, the service. And then finally, the same thing that happens with unbelievers, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Yes. Oh, we got to watch that one too. You know, because even in Christendom, we can get caught up in the lust of the flesh, the nice clothes, the comforts of the flesh, things that make us feel comfortable and make us feel good. The home, the car, you know, and when we think of the lust of the flesh, sometimes we think of just sex. It's not just sex. It's our, what comforts, whatever comforts us. It could be a lot of things that we lust after, you know, don't need it. Just lust it. Want it. I want the big, shiny, bigger luxury vehicle and all of that. There's nothing wrong with having that. God will give you those things. I'm telling you, I'm a witness. God will give you some really nice things. But be careful, you know, that you don't start lusting, that you don't put these things before God. And the lust of the eyes, money and position and status. Oh, look at me, look at me. And status and money and all of that. And that's what, you know, the enemy will get you that way too. Oh, the promotion. Oh, the money. You know, you better ask God before that promotion. I'm telling you, I'm a witness. You ask God before you jump into everything that's offered to you. Because sometimes the enemy is laying a trap for you. And you have to be in it, or distraction. Amen. Thank you. A distraction for you. A status. Oh, I'm on this, and I'm on this board, and I'm this, and I'm... Better ask God. Because the enemy could be laying a trap. Sometimes he can't turn us away from God, but he can get us so busy, and so tied up that we have no time for God, and then he's coming in for the kill. So be careful and check yourself. And the pride of life, you know, again, all sin. Andrew Murray wrote that in his book, Humility. He said, every human sin can be tracked back to pride. And I have tested that theory, and boy, it is true. It always comes back to pride. Wars track back to pride. Everything track back to pride. People are starving. Babies are dying because of pride. You know, the pride of the human person. Myself, my body, my this, my. You know, oh boy, I tell you. So we have to check ourselves and watch ourselves. How can we help a blinded world without true relationship with Christ? That is the question. They are looking for him, but may not see him because our true relationship is shrouded by a fake relationship, by religion. You know, so they can't see the true Christ. So they need to see the true Christ. You know, your constitution should be nothing between my soul and my Savior. Yes. There was an old preacher that used to say that all the time. I think it was Shambach. You say nothing between my soul and my Savior. And that's what we've got to do. And that's what we got to look at, folks. And that's what we got to hold to, that we have nothing between me and him. So moving on back to the lesson. Jesus said to him, I am the only way to God and the real truth and the real life. No one comes to the Father but through me, John 14:6, and that's the Amplified. So let's talk about this a little bit. Jesus said this verse in the context of describing heaven, his Father's house. He was talking about the mansions and the place he was preparing for his people. Jesus was answering a question posed by one of his disciples, Thomas, about how to get to this place. John 14:6 was his response. Hallelujah. He was talking about heaven. In my Father's house, as many mansions, you know, I go to prepare a place for you. And Tom says, we don't know the way. How are we going to get there? He says, Jesus said, I am the only way. I am the only truth, and I am only life. Nobody's coming to the Father but through me. Do not be deceived. Do not be fooled. I know people are teaching all kind of religions these days and all kind of ways to Christ. There's one way to God, and it is through his Son, Jesus Christ. The sincerity of your relationship with Christ is critical to your, excuse me, to your entrance into heaven. It is critical. That's what he is saying here. The relationship has got to be in place if you are going to enter my Father's house. The next point says, God is the one, not people and not you, who establishes righteous requirements for knowing him, praying to him, and spending eternity with him. God has established the requirements for entering his house. We are foolish and prideful to think we get to decide these things for ourselves. That's from the book. Wow. That we are going to decide who gets when, if we go to heaven or not. Yes, you only decision you can make is for Jesus Christ, period. That's it. Amen. Nothing else. The prophet proclaimed, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. That's Isaiah 59, 8 through 9 in the Amplified. This is why you must study God's word to know his thoughts and know his ways. You have to contemplate God's word with the Holy Spirit because it will not come naturally to you as a former sinner. It won't come. You won't know what to do unless you're studying your word, unless the Holy Spirit is showing you the way of God. You know, you won't know. It's interesting because we as human beings, we don't know our situation. I was Googling the other day and, you know, finding out where the Situation Room was. You know, there's a Situation Room in the White House. You know, I hear about it. I heard about it. And I was just checking to see where is the Situation Room. The Situation Room is under in the basement of the White House, probably several floors down. You know, because that's where when all this war, if the White House gets bombed, that Situation Room is still there. And that's where everybody comes in, you know, and talks. All of the defense departments, you know, comes in, the head of the Air Force, the head of the Army, the Navy, they all come in, the Marines, they all come in, and the president comes in, and all the government officials come, so they can talk about the situation. Like, you know, what's going on? Well, we've lost San Francisco, and you know, they're coming this way, and you know, we lost half of Washington, and all of this stuff. So they can talk about what's going on, so you can figure out what is our move now. What do we need to do now that this has happened, that we are in a war and something, or we have been attacked? That's why they have that situation where they can talk about what's going on, you know, in a safe environment. Folks, human beings need to go into the Situation Room with Jesus.
All right.
You need to go into the Situation Room because we don't understand our situation. You know, both corporately and personally, often you don't understand your situation. We walking through words, oh, like Pollyanna, la, 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 la. Don't pray, don't read your word, la, 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 la. And don't even understand, you're in the middle of a battle and the enemy is gunning for your soul. He wants you dead, but not just dead. He wants you dead in hell. Do you understand?
Amen.
So he's gunning for you. He didn't care if you accepted Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm really gunning for you. You got a target on your back, a bright, glowing target because you've accepted Jesus Christ. I'm going to try and get into your life and get you to turn around. And he has gotten some to turn around. Folks, you got to understand your situation. You know, you got to get into the Situation Room with Jesus and the Holy Ghost so they can show you what's going on in your life. I thank God for that because he has warned me from so many things that I was walking right into.
Amen.
And boy, I thank you. Went in my prayer closet, my Situation Room with Jesus. You know, and Jesus will show you this is what's going on here. This with this one and with this one and with this one. And this is what I'm telling you to do. See, the thing about the Situation Room, when all is said and done, the president is going to make the call on what we need to do. After he's heard from everybody, he's going to make the call. You know, after you've read the word and you've prayed, then Jesus is going to make the call. This is what I want you to do.
Amen.
Don't return evil for evil or insult for insult.
Amen.
Yeah, they're gunning for you. Yeah, they're coming after you, but don't you return evil for evil, insult for insult, because I got my angel standing by, you know, and they're gonna run interference for you. I got the Navy out here, and I got the Air Force. They just waiting. They're just waiting for them to show up.
Yeah, so good.
So good. Y'all hear me. Y'all hear me. I'm telling you. And I hear they got these two-minute guys. These guys can be in the air in 2 minutes.
Minuteman.
Yeah, the Minuteman. We still got the Minutemen. It didn't end with the American Revolution. They got these Minutemen that will be in the air in 2 minutes.
One minute.
1 minute, kids, former Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
1 minute. They'll be up in the air. If there's something coming our way. Don't you love it? And so I'm so glad they got this Situation Room. Like, oh, come. Okay, I want everybody in here. Let's talk. What's going on? And they got this big old map showing the whole world. Who's doing what where? Where are the missiles coming from? Who has missile silos? What's in the air? Oh, praise God. See, Jesus will do that for you when you have relationship with him. You can go in the Situation Room and he will. I'm telling you, I'm not telling you because I read it. I'm telling you because I lived it.
Mm-hmm.
And he warned me. He warned me, Gary. He said, don't you do that. Because I had my Karen human plan in place. And I was ready to tell him something, Cabby. I was ready, armed and loaded with this. And he said, oh, let's tone this down a bit. And let me tell you what you're going to do. Okay. Yes, Jesus. You heard how they talked about me, though. You know. Oh, man. I'm telling you, you need a visit to your situation room. But you're going to do it when you have relationship, true relationship. And that's when we talked about that lesson we did, Peter Gregg, contemplate the word with the Holy Spirit. When you get on a scripture and you start to bring it before the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost will open up like windows in the scripture. And he'll open up doors. Rose, you know what I'm talking about. I know you know what I'm talking about. Windows in the scripture that takes you to a deeper depth in the scriptures. It only happens with the Holy Ghost. That's why people talk about the Bible contradicting itself. They haven't really contemplated it with the Holy Ghost. When you go into contemplative prayer with the Holy Spirit, he shows you things. What's really happening and how you should respond as his child. Oh, and if the world could just see that, you'll see so many people won. You'll see your family won. They expected you to do this, this, and this, but you did the opposite. You did what Jesus told you to do in a situation room. Hallelujah. And you won the battle. Hallelujah. As we go in your lesson, God alone is creator. He alone knows and possesses all authority in heaven and earth. This you've got to get.
Amen.
His ways are much higher than your ways. So the real question is not, what do you think God should do? But rather, what has he decided? Oh, I love that one. That came from the book. I was like, oh my goodness. It's not what you think God should do. It is what God has decided to do. Do you understand? See, that's what I'm saying. You need to understand the situation. You are not in charge.
Amen.
You have no authority over death.
Amen.
All your days are written in a book. And when that your day comes up, say, guess what? Oh, I got to read this little caption. This little picture in your lesson. It says, tick, tick, tick. It is the beating of the pulse of eternity. You hear the ticking of that clock. It is the footstep of death pursuing you. Each time the clock ticks, death's footsteps are falling on the ground close behind you, by C.H. Spurgeon. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. You have no authority over death. Oh, so you must get over your pride, your lesson says, and wake up to who is calling the shots in your existence and your future if you are to be saved. Wow, truly saved. You must realize your time here is limited and the clock is ticking toward your eternity and where you will spend it. Wow. The apostles wrote to the early church, as God's fellow workers, then we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. Talking to the church.
Amen.
Okay. For he says, in the time of favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the time of favor. Now is the time of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6, 1 through 2. There is no argument we can give on that day if we are not ready. We are all given the same information. We are all given the same opportunity for true relationship with Christ. There's no excuse you can give. God has limited man's time on earth. Therefore, physical death will come for us all. And when that day comes for you, the time of salvation and favor will be over for you, and the time of judgment will come. Folks, it just needs to be made plain. You will stand alone before him.
Amen.
Nobody. Just you and him, appointment. No attorney, no lawyer to fight your case.
No mama.
No mama. No mama. Because some people will be, I know that's good. I didn't know where, mother, your mama not here.
That's right.
Okay.
Those flowers aren't
going to
make any difference.
Yes, yes, yes. Your mama made it in, but what about you?
That's right.
Let's talk about you. Wow. I'm telling you, you will stand before him alone. And we've got to get this, folks. You do not dictate to God. Let me say that again. You do not dictate to God. God has the power to order all of creation. He orders the sciences of the earth that we are still trying to understand. From biology to physics, he orders it all. His word says, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created and exist through him, that is by his activity and for him. And he himself exists and is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the controlling, cohesive force of the universe. Colossians 1, 16 and 17. Boy, you could just spend a day on that one. He created it. Not only has he created everything we see and everything even we can't see, but he holds it together. He holds it together. If I touch this table, we're both made out of atoms. If you look at the subatomic particles, just like on the left, that's all my body is. But if I touch this, I can pull away, and I didn't become part of the table, did I? The table didn't become part of me because he holds it together. I just got excited when I really realized that.
Yeah, that's crazy.
He holds it all together.
That's right.
You know, we have to realize our situation. Again, we don't even understand our situation. God could just speak, and I just become a bunch of subatomic particles, just floating into oblivion. But he holds everything together. Science proves this. It amazes me how science gets to some of these things. The Big Bang Theory is born out of the arrogance of man. For mankind to daily witness the order of the universe and to have never witnessed order coming from chaos, and then to dismiss the order and the intelligence of God and replace him with the Big Bang Theory of creation is pure idiocy born out of pride. It is against the very witness of creation itself. Do you get that? There is nothing that we have ever seen that shows that order comes out of chaos. How can we say all of this came out of an explosion? But that's what they're selling us. That's what they're selling us in the schools and the universities. That's what they're selling. Totally ignoring the order. Oh, and the balance of God. And I already told you about the sun. We're rotating around a big ball of fire. Yes. It's so hot, we can't even get close to it. And yet, we don't burn up and we don't freeze to death.
That's right.
You can't even tell me. The old song says, you can't turn me around because I know too much. Too much about his goodness, too much about his love. You can't turn me around. I know too much. Everything testified. So you said, we have great respect for science, you know, because science has brought us so many things, you know.
Right.
But God created all of this stuff. So why would science tell us such a big lie? The devil.
The trick
of the enemy. He plays on man's pride. See, if I don't have to acknowledge God, then I can take credit for everything.
Amen.
Have I been published? Have you been published? I've been published. That's the big thing in the science world, being published in a journal. Yes. Been there with them. Been published.
Too smart for God.
Too smart for God. You know, I'm telling folks, we got to know our situation, but don't be deceived. We have the Holy Spirit, because when the Holy Spirit came in, the Holy Spirit says, okay, Karen, you need to know the situation, because you've been lied to. And you need to know the situation, because all of creation testifies. Oh, man, the details of creation, down to the insects, a whole branch of science just to study insects.
Amen.
How whole branch of science just to study plants, because one branch couldn't do it all. Oh, and I won't even get started on the human body. We have so many subspecialties because one person could not study, one person in medicine could not take care of everything to do with the human body.
No.
So I'm just going to study the heart, okay? I'm just going to be a cardiologist. I'm going to study the heart over there, okay? Yeah. You know, I remember when I was practicing medicine, and we had a patient, OB, we were in obstetrics, and OB patient, you know, lady about to deliver, and she's started having some heart arrhythmia. So we called the cardiologist to, you know, because the obstetrician, like, I don't know what's going on with her heart. You can call the cardiologist. You know, and the cardiologist comes in and, like, you know, so what's going on? You know, you can't ask the cardiologist what's going on with the baby, because he don't know nothing. He just knows. something, because he went to med school, you know, the general stuff. But, you know, don't ask him. You don't want the cardiologist delivering your baby, honey. You want the obstetrician. Because it all testifies how God made us layer upon layer. The nervous system, the circulatory system, lymphatic system. Oh, my goodness. Just everything. Your body. I just have to look at my hand and I'll say, praise God, Lord. I just had you do all that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, and for us to think this happened by accident, it was just an explosion and Karen just showed up.
No.
It's pure idiocy. That's why I call it idiocy. And I don't even bite my tongue with that.
It's evil.
Because it's evil because it is outright rebellion. If you deny your relationship with God within his creation, you act in rebellion.
Yes.
And that's what you're seeing. You think science is just, everyone gets into science. Honey, watch, be careful. Because there is, when every single thing is tainted by sin, and even science, rebellion within it, there are some great things that, this is the way the body works. Yes, medicine is wonderful. Yes, that medication will help you, and this will help you, and this will help you. But when they start talking about Big Bang, I'm like, wait a minute. Wait a minute, because that couldn't have happened. How does order come from chaos? Big. It's probably the biggest lie that science has ever told, that Big Bang Theory. So now you see the deeper truth of John 14:6. The proof of God and his son is right in your face every day. And that's why Jesus said, I am the way. There's nothing you're going to be able to say to deny. Oh, Lord, I didn't know. I was in your face every day. My creation was in your face every day. You saw life every day. You saw the sun up in the sky every day. You lived on my planet all those years. Breathed my air, ate my food. And I took care of you day in and day out, that you will have no excuse on that day. Oh, I just want us to see the gravity. Again, this situation, this whole chapter about your situation. Just going to finish up, and we'll do our video next week, and I'll have the handouts for you. And we can do the prayer meeting next week, okay? The Almighty God has ordered that no human comes to him but through his Son, the Christ, the Savior. This is not pride, but truth. Being able to take the hand of God and the hand of man and bring them together, one would need to be heavenly and earthly as well as holy and human, and Jesus was. Wow, that's from the book. This requirement, holy and human, to bring mankind to God is only held by Jesus. The apostle wrote, "For there is only one God and only one mediator between God and mankind, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom, a substitutionary sacrifice to atone for all the testimony given at the right and proper time." 1 Timothy 2:5-6. And that's why when I talk about that religion trying to get in the way of your relationship, this is it right here. No other mediator. And boy, when I was reading this Fox Book of Martyrs, they martyred the man that was trying to print the New Testament. He was one of the people martyred because he was trying to print copies of it. When the printing press was invented, he was trying to print copies for the common people, everybody to have. Because before, only a few people had a copy of the Word of God. But he was printing the Word of God, and they martyred him for it. Because they did not want the people to read the gospel themselves. They wanted the people to go through the priests and go through this and go through the rituals. Oh, the devil is a liar. But I thank God for those people in that book, because they pressed on. And even when he was martyred, somebody else picked up the baton and kept going. As you know, there's copies of the Bible everywhere. This nation has more copies than anybody, you know. But even in other countries, they don't want them to have a copy of the Word of God. There are still places where it is forbidden. Don't you bring that Bible in here. You can't walk down the street with a holy Bible in some countries. Oh, no, you don't. They know how powerful it is. You're right, Kathy. They know how powerful it is because when you read, there's only one mediator between man and God. You mean it wasn't because I did this and I did that? No. You got to know Jesus. You got to have a relationship with Jesus. And when they get that, their eyes are open. And the final point says, if you understand this great truth, you will know the seriousness of your situation as a human being and would not play around with your salvation. You would hold it as the most precious thing in your life, your existence. You would maintain it, and you would be certain that it is kept healthy and fed every day, knowing that your life depends on it. And not just your life on earth, but your eternal life depends on it. Just as a person bound underwater would keep his oxygen tank undamaged and functional, knowing that if his tank is unfunctional, he would die. So should you be sure that you have a functional salvation and a true relationship. Do you have a functional salvation? Do you have a true relationship? Those are questions that I can't answer for you. You have to answer that for yourself. Your spouse can't even answer it for you. You know, your mama can't answer it for you. Your daddy can't answer it for you. You have to answer it for yourself. So any comments, any questions?